Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
We're celebrating today. Put your celebrating faces on. It's church's birthday. Hey, happy birthday, church. It's Pentecost Sunday, and we're coming to celebrate. And for those that have been celebrating all week, because it's been your birthdays, or for those that are celebrating in weeks to come, it's another celebration this morning as we're thinking about the coming of the Holy Spirit onto those first disciples, and how the church was birthed and grew and grew and grew. And as we think about how the Holy Spirit takes up residence in people's hearts, in those first believers and in each one of us as we believe and accept Jesus Christ as our Saviour, we've been thinking about how God wants to give us gifts of the Holy Spirit to believers, so that we and his church can learn and grow together. And so we think about that first Pentecost Sunday. We remember that first festival after Jesus' ascension. The Holy Spirit descended on the disciples. And you can go home and read all about it in Acts chapter 2. But the impact of the Holy Spirit dwelling within a person is that we have that newfound resource enabling us to be transformed and live a life that is full of God. And we do that because we believe in the good news and the blessings and the promises from God. So later on, we'll continue our journey through Romans 8. So a call to worship. The wind of God, the breath of life. Come, Holy Spirit, our advocate, our counselor. Come, Holy Spirit, teacher of wisdom, reminder of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, granter of forgiveness, giver of peace. Come, Holy Spirit. May we feel God breathing through our worship. May we receive his Holy Spirit in this place. Amen. Let's join together and sing number 18, All Over the World, The Spirit is Moving. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Right here in this place, the Spirit is moving. Heavenly Father, we have gathered together in your presence to offer our praise and our prayers. We come before you with confidence, knowing that even when we can't find the words, God's own Spirit is right here with us, praying in us and for us, giving shape to our wordless hopes and longings, and pleading for us before the throne of grace. And so we come with joy to offer our worship to a God who knows and loves us all. For the gift of your Spirit, we praise you, O God. We come to you by the Spirit's conviction. We have new life through the Spirit's indwelling. We are made your children by the Spirit's adoption. We witness and serve by the Spirit's empowerment. And we yearn to be more like Christ because of the Spirit's urgings. Continue, we pray, your gracious work, so that we may walk in this world free from the captivity of sin and free to do your will in the glorious freedom of your children through the Holy Spirit. O God, who sent gifts of the Holy Spirit to those first saints, we know you continue to send gifts to us, even though we do not claim them. We confess that we have not always opened our gifts. We have often used and chosen to keep them packed away or buried. Move us by your Spirit to pick up our gifts that you so freely give, to open them and to use them lavishly on the stewardship of your world. We confess to you how often our thoughts and motives are confused, both individually and when we're together as your people, and that this confusion has often blinded us to your interest in our lives. Break in on our confusion and astonish us anew, O God. Our prayer is that you will claim us again and silence within us our desire to always have words for every occasion, that we might hear the whisper of the wings of your Spirit dove. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your love. Open our eyes to see the presence of you all around us, in the stillness of this sacred space, in the busyness and noise of our city streets, in the joys and celebrations of our lives, in the tragedies and struggles that break our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, and comfort those who grieve. Grant them the peace that only you can bring. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring wholeness to the sick. Strengthen those who are weak. Heal the wounded and broken. Give rest to the weary. Come, Holy Spirit, and inspire our warring world to seek peace, to love our enemies, to put away our weapons, to remember the price paid for our freedom, to care for those who have served. Come, Holy Spirit, and ignite a fire in our bones, a passion for justice that cannot be quenched until all your children are loved, until no one is marginalized or oppressed, until all have the opportunity to thrive, until the world is transformed and renewed. Come, Holy Spirit, and revive your church. Liberate us from complacency and apathy. Inspire us with Christ's vision for a world reborn. Help us to recognise our gifts for ministry and to use them in service of others. Transform our hearts and our minds. Fill us with love that overflows. Remind us that there is no greater calling than to love you with all that we are and to love our neighbours as ourselves. Gracious God, give us a glimpse of your kingdom emerging around us and drawing us into the new things that you are doing in the world. It is for your kingdom that we now pray, filled with your Spirit, using the words that Jesus taught us. And together we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So as we continue in an attitude of prayer, let's sing number 806 and pray that God will take our little sparks and turn them into flames.
Lord, is fair, Lord, in your
Amazing what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. And we're going to think a bit more about that this morning as we continue through Romans 8. And I'll ask Marjorie if she'll come and give us our reading.
Reading is Romans chapter 8. Verses 18 to 30, and it's on page 1135 in the Bibles. Present suffering and future glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justifies. Those he justified, he also glorified.
Present suffering. Is it worth it? As we've just heard those wonderful words, it's more than worth it, isn't it? Can't begin to imagine the glory that God has in store for each one of us who believes in him. No matter how hard, how bad, how painful our trip through this world may be, our future with God holds something incomparably better. Does that mean that our difficulties and are meaningless or insignificant? Absolutely not. But our future glory with God does mean that there is more than enough to hang on to be faithful and to receive our glorious reward. And so we'll sing number 67, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Let's pray. Breathe on me, breath of God, until I am wholly thine. Lord, those beautiful words just linger in our minds and prepare us for what is to come. Lord, as we hear your word to each one of us, may your Holy Spirit prompt us and move us, inspire us, and transform us. Amen. So as I was thinking about this morning's service, I've called it Glory to Come. We all need something to look forward to, don't we? Don't we? Yeah. Hello. Oh, you are there. I sometimes use the analogy of my football team when I'm talking to you. You'll be pleased to know, for those of you who hate football, that today is the end of the season. Until the Euros start for us, England, on the 16th of June, which is the next Sunday that I preach, so who knows what I may talk about. So those of you know that football is my second love, and I always start the season full of expectation. Don't we all, those of us who like football? Well, I'll look at Nigel. We look forward, some of us, to end of season glory. By Christmas, we were 1 point off the top of the league. I know, exciting. Still in all competitions. The manager announces he's leaving and the glory turns to gloom. Another disappointing season. So if you ever want to know what groaning sounds like, just listen to me when I watch the results coming through. Joy. Sorry. So it is a good job that my first love won't let me down. For God promises in this passage future glory, and I do have faith that that will be so. And for those of you whose teams are not doing so well, let's concentrate on our first love. We concluded last week in Romans 8:17. Paul was explaining that as adopted children of God, as his heirs, we will be glorified. Now, that's not a word that we use very often in modern day language, is it? When was the last time you said, I'll be glorified? It means to be given our resurrection bodies, to be like Christ, with Christ. And so we will be glorified with Christ if we suffer with him. Last week we were thinking about, we weren't really keen on the idea of suffering, were we? Most of you pulled a face and went, ooh, don't want to do that. But we realise that this suffering happens because we are saying yes to God, to God's freely offered adoption. An adoption that requires that we join God in his will and his purposes and his ways. Any time that we do this, there'll be a cost. Why? Because we are adopted into a family of eternal values, values that conflict daily with the worldly ways in which we live in. So what does that mean for us? It means that we can expect to experience some form of suffering. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, there is a cost to discipleship. Are we prepared to accept that for the gospel life, for future glory? It may mean that we're wronged or neglected because of our unwillingness to just go along with the crowd. We talked about that a few weeks ago. It may mean that we're hated and mistreated because of our faith. For many of us in our comfy church, that hasn't happened yet. But for our persecuted sisters and brothers, that's their daily reality because they say yes to Christ. All of this and more are not outside the realm of response of possibilities. But don't be disheartened. Look, you're looking sad now. Don't be disheartened. We're living now in the assurance of no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are heirs, children of God. Doesn't that make it all worth it? Doesn't that make it all worth it? You're still here. Sorry for those on Zoom, they are awake. As Christ's followers, we will experience a kind of life that many, those who don't know God, can only imagine. This is the part of the Christian life that Paul wants us to focus on in the midst of our suffering. as we slowly journey through the verses that we heard today, we discover again the value of suffering, the groaning of creation, the hope of our salvation, the move of the Holy Spirit on our behalf, the confidence in the Lord himself, our God's sovereign love for each one of us. Suffering is an unavoidable part of our lives in this fallen world. But earth is not our permanent home. As we wait for eternity, we can cling on to this life-transforming hope, communicated as Paul does in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul's intention is to fill his readers with encouragement and assurance of hope. He knows that believers were going to suffer. Notice that he actually uses the present tense. None of us wants to suffer. It's not wrong for us to feel that way. When we think about suffering, it seems that it would only dampen our enthusiasm and our hope. But in this verse, Paul said it's just the opposite. Suffering, the kind of suffering that we've just talked about, actually expands and strengthens our hope instead of oppressing it. And so you think, well, why? I'm still getting my head around the fact I've got to suffer. Now you're telling me it's for my own good. It's what's so wonderful about God's word, isn't it? It just takes our whole of our thoughts and our ideals and just tips them upside down. Because when we compare it to our future glory, it pales in comparison. Our current suffering will one day seem minuscule as we spend eternity with Christ. That is faith. Paul says later, again to the Corinthian church, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Despite what we may think or have learned in the past, believers are not immune to suffering. We will see sorrow, feel heartache, suffer illness. But our Lord, praise God, is in the healing business, so do not fear. As I say to you every time, 365 times in the Bible, do not fear, one for each day of the week. Hold on to that promise. The world would like us to live in fear. It would like us to stay all nicely compact in our four walls and not go out and tell people the good news of Jesus. Because when we do, lives are transformed. And we can choose fear or faith, just like those disciples did. When we go back to the beginning of Acts, as I was talking about the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2, before that, they're all hiding away. They were disciples in fear for their lives. And then the Holy Spirit transformed them from men of fear to men of faith. And we read that 3,000 souls were added that day. Can you imagine if we took our fear and changed it to faith, how many people would come to Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit if we believe? Oh, that our hearts would be opened like that. So don't accept fear. That's not our inheritance. Faith transcends fear through the empowering presence of God's Holy Spirit and the inner strength that he has given us. Not that God shields us from every worry and trial. No, even better, he does what he does for our good. He is our ever-present help in times of trouble. He feels our suffering and knows intimately what we bear. If it is his will to heal, then he will heal. But maybe there's something that he's doing in the sorrow and in the pain and in the heartache that we can't understand right now. So we trust him for what we understand. Even more, we trust him for what we don't. We have that assurance that God guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He is walking with us as we walk in step with his Holy Spirit. He's as close as the breath that we breathe and as near as the beating of our hearts. Reread the words to breathe on me, breath of God, later in your prayers. Someone said, the peace that passes all understanding isn't so much for the sunshine as much as the storm. Do not be downcast. We suffer, but we do not suffer in vain, alone, or forever. Even creation suffers and groans, we read, in anticipation of that new heaven and the new earth. Creation does not suffer in vain. C.S. Lewis, in his writings, and he wrote a lot about hope, that this too is our blessed hope that we're looking forward to. He says, a continue looking forward to the eternal world is not a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. So it's good. It's good that we keep looking forward to our future glory, knowing that, unlike my football team, we will not be disappointed. Remember Billy Graham, my home is in heaven, I'm just travelling through this world. Why does creation groan? Because it's not immune to suffering either. As we read those words and sung those words from Beauty for Brokenness, creation was never meant to see corruption or decay or earthquakes or contamination or pollution or global warming. That list could go on and on. In the deepest part of her memory, creation knows in her heart the time the Creator looked at her and said, "It is good." Creation remembers when humanity fell. And so she longs, and creation groans in faith, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Waiting in trust and expectation for the future, our faithful God promises. As part of creation, we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too, it says, wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies that he has promised for us. God promises a magnificent future for the believer, complete with a brand new glorified body. For anyone with aches and pains this morning, thank goodness for that. At present, we only have a taste of that future, glorious future, through the presence of the Holy Spirit who's within us. He is the down payment, the deposit, guaranteeing our full adoption as God's children, and the release of our bodies from sin and suffering. Paul anticipates the word, and he uses the Greek word doxa. It points to the transformation of the body through resurrection, the glory that will be revealed in us. It anticipates the day when people will enjoy the glory and honor that Christ already achieved in his ascension, looking forward to his second coming, to the day when believers will spend eternity with him. That is our blessed hope. Our future is secure. A new heaven and a new earth, the place where God literally dwells among us, as it was in the beginning. That's why we hold on to the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Our suffering is short-lived and will not be in vain. So So we will all face suffering in all its different shapes and sizes. One thing we can never forget is that our suffering as believers comes from the way because we said yes, yes to Jesus, to his eternal values. As we endure suffering in this life, God uses it to transform us more and more into the likeness of Christ, especially when it's done for the sake of his gospel. Now, I know that we're not very good at waiting. We've had that conversation many times. So we have to learn how to live while waiting. And as we read that passage, one is the indwelling Holy Spirit who assists us in prayer. Don't know about you, but sometimes I don't know what to say to God in prayer. Don't know what to thank him for, what to praise him for, what to ask him for. Because sometimes the world is just too much and it's overwhelming. But we have the Spirit inside us who helps us in our prayers, allowing us to pray according to God's will. Because outside of God's will is really not the place to be. And we see also that God's sovereign faithfulness to work all things together for our good, because he loves us and we're called according to his purpose. God shows himself to be faithful to the faithful. From before the beginning of time, God predestined a great salvation, so great, our inheritance in Christ Jesus. We are all invited. Those who've accepted that invitation will enter his rest, his peace. We will suffer no more. Even now, creation breathes a sigh of relief and cries hallelujah. As we look at the end of Revelation, those familiar words that heaven and earth will pass away, but the glory of the Lord lasts forever. John saw his vision and he writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because the previous things have passed away." Be assured in faith and hope. God will do what he says he will do. We can trust him. We have to watch. We have to wait in anticipation, for the Lord our God is coming. We read in Philippians, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord God, for sending your Holy Spirit. We thank you for breathing life into the church, and we thank you for giving your Spirit to all who believe. May the Spirit who set the church on fire upon the day of Pentecost bring the world alive with the love of the risen Christ. Lord, give us eyes to see those around us as you see them. Give us ears to hear their stories. Give us hearts to share your love. Father, help us to experience the presence and leading of your Holy Spirit today, so that we may walk with you and live in a way that pleases you, living as Pentecost people, together living the transforming life of the Holy Spirit, that we are called to be people who live the life of Pentecost in the way that we live and minister and worship. Amen. And so we'll think about that freedom and sing that freedom as we sing number 664, "The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free." You ready, Joe?
Ready.
as we sung those words with enthusiasm. We just pray, Lord, that that wouldn't just be a song that we sing, but that would be the prayer of our hearts, that through your power, that we would walk in the light of your word, of your love, and of your truth. Lord, be with each one of us. Again, may the Spirit who set the church on fire upon that day of Pentecost bring the world alive with the love of our risen Christ. Amen. Please sit down. So as I said, we'll pick up Romans 8 in a few weeks, but over these next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to be under the ministry of others. And so next week, Spot will lead you in service. And after that, Ian comes to talk about Flame International. Make sure you're here. No bunking off. I'm still here, so I will know. And then we have Love Wickham. So if you've not booked your place in a car, please speak to Jo, and she will sort you some way of getting there. We will get you there if you want to come to Love Wickham. And if you're not around and you're on holiday, please pray that the sun will shine. And we continue to think about the Holy Spirit as we have our Bible study. Bless you.
Recording stopped.